Today, we resume a brief overview of the various areas of ministry that God outlines for his church. We've already looked at worship in the past. We've looked at spiritual growth. We've looked at evangelism. And today, we want to consider what we might call people care aspect of ministry, helping one another in times of trouble. And our text is in 2 Corinthians. Let me just read it. It's in the first chapter, the first 11 verses. I'm going to expand it to the first 11 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. And he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we've set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. The word troubles, very generic term. It summarizes all the many ways that we need help from time to time. Trouble is part of this world's atmosphere. Hardship does not spring from the soil, the Old Testament says, nor does trouble sprout from the ground, and yet man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. All of us need help in our troubles. We need help in finding God. We need help in taking stock of our lives and recognizing our blessings from the false gods that enslave us. We need help to resolve conflicts that are too deep just to heal all by themselves. We need help to survive and then thrive after making very serious mistakes. We need help to remain faithful to our Lord in the face of the world's opposition. We need help through all the common transitions and uncommon tragedies of life, everything that Paul lumps together here with this heading of troubles. Giving and receiving help is crucial to being a church of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, someone told me that they've been attending here for some time, and they really appreciated the church's ministries, but they found the congregation a little cool, maybe even unfriendly. But then a need they had became known, and the folks here just reached out to them unexpectedly with the love of Christ, and that changed the family's entire perspective. Whole experience of church was transformed, and really that's not surprising, is it? Because the church was never intended to be just a set of services and programs. The church is Christ's people, filled with his Spirit, who are determined to receive God's love and share it, and then often use programs to do so. Well, last week, Brian introduced to us the truth that the difficulties and trials are an important and unavoidable part of the Christian life. Remember that? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face various trials of any kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And James told us that one of the things we absolutely need in order to respond to these trials is wisdom from God, a knowledge of who he is, who we are, a confidence in his goodness and in his promises that will motivate obedience. Well, now Paul tells us we need something else along with wisdom. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. When we're in trouble, we not only need wisdom, we also need comfort that is born of compassion. The word translated comfort here can mean a number of things in the Bible, but it probably does not mean just passive consolation. It carries the idea of aid or help. In trouble, we need help. We need help. You ever sprained an ankle? You know, a doctor once told me that a bad sprain can give a lot of people more intense pain than whatever will end up killing them. You go to a doctor, you expect him or her to share with us their wisdom. And then they might do that and explain to us what a sprain is, you know, how we pulled a ligament too far by twisting our foot. Either we would have an inversion sprain twisting inward or an eversion sprain twisting outward. Maybe we look at a chart of the ankle together, and maybe we, you know, he'd talk about whether we have a grade 1 sprain where ligaments are stretched, or a grade 2 sprain where they're torn a little bit, or a grade 3 sprain where they're torn completely. Or maybe we neither kind of need a new shoe for what we're engaged in and how we can approach that. Well, at some point we're going to say, well, that's all very nice, but can you help me? Can you get some ice on this thing? You know, wrap it up. How long should I stay off of it? What do I do? Doc, can you help me? I'm hurting. Mild discomforts can be easily borne. I mean, you turn your ankle while you're on an uneven sidewalk, or you just kind of walk it off. A parent canceling a promised activity once because of a surprise at work. Well, there's always next time. An early promotion that doesn't come through. Well, it calls for a little patience. Losing a contract on a house. Well, you get back to work and look for another one. But major pain, that's not something that you can ignore. Losing your home because of the mortgage crisis. Losing your job because of a downsizing you can't control. Effectively losing a parent to death or divorce or alcoholism. You can't just go on as if nothing happened any more than you can keep walking when you just busted an Achilles tendon. When we're in great pain, we need help. Help certainly to understand the pain. That's the wisdom that James spoke of. But also help to bear the pain. And then help in using God's wisdom to actually recover from the injury. And that's the help Paul is talking about here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. Here's the good news of the gospel, that those whom Christ has found have discovered that God Almighty wishes to help them. Now that in itself is news to most people. We are born predisposed to our very core to distrust and to discount the living God. That's what it means to be born in sin. To discover the one that we have hidden from in some misguided attempt at self-preservation, to discover that he is in fact somebody who wants our best, always did want our best, even now after all the ways we've sinned, still wants our best. That is big news. That is surprising news. That is good news. The living God is the Father of compassion. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And this compassion is so strong, he sent his one and only son whom he loves to willingly bear all of his holy anger on our behalf so that none of that wrath has to land on us. The living God is the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God, and proclaim to them that their sins have been paid for. Tell them that. This is what the High and Lofty One says, he who lives forever or inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is of a contrite and lowly in spirit to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I was enraged by his sin. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will guide him and restore comfort to him. When a person's sin is covered through faith in Christ Jesus, God becomes his friend. God looks at the miseries that our sin has produced, and he takes pity on us, and he resolves to help. He resolves to help. Why? Because that's who he is. He is the God of all comfort. God helps us directly. He intervenes to keep us from being crushed. He pours out his love into our hearts so we know we're never alone. He widens our horizon to give us hope in the future that is so buoyant nothing can hold it under. And God helps us through the tangible body of believers who are filled with the Spirit of his Son and who function as his body on this earth, Christ's hands and arms and legs and voice, the voice and embrace of God through his people. And that's the point of our text, that God cares for us as we receive help from our brothers and sisters and then learn to pass that on to others. You know, the words that underscore the dynamic of this text are in verse 4, the words, so that. Praise be to God who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. When God comforts any one of us, he's not only helping us, he's equipping us to help somebody else. In Christ, it's as if the Lord links people together in a great high-voltage power line, not to transmit the power of ego or wealth or emotional ecstasy, but to transmit the power of help. Help. The powerful help that God gives you through someone else when you're open to receive it originated in help they previously received some time ago. And the help that God gives you now is help that you can powerfully pass on to somebody else later. God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The help God gives us is meant for us personally. He entrusted it to somebody else. They brought it to us. But now it's no longer ours to hold on to. Now we share it in turn. Over the last couple of weeks, Mickey and I have been helped by God. I've never seen her in such pain. Some of you know all too well what it's like. And God has answered our prayers, and he has given us endurance and even a measure of joy. And largely that has come through a number of you who've come to us. You brought us food. You brought us encouragement. You brought us your prayers. God bless you for it. Somewhere in the past, God helped you. It's obvious. And you've been passing that help on to us along with God's love. And receiving your help enables me to speak to you today with conviction. It gives me a sermon that isn't theoretical. I know the help of God. He's given me help time and again through you. And I get that to pass that along to others through the verbal gifts that God has given me. In fact, I believe that verses 3 and 4 outline for us how people care works in a church. It describes how ministries of people care develop. First, you experience God's help. There's a wall that sometimes keeps us from doing that. But boy, if you get that wall down, to experience God's help in the midst of pain that you cannot bear alone. Now, over time, as Jesus begins to mend your broken life, he enlists you to begin to join him in his work, passing on God's help to others. Now, you don't realize that at first. But the pain in which God meets you and in which Jesus mends you is your training ground for ministry. Now, I'm not suggesting for a minute that God only helps you so you can serve him. No, no. He helps you because he loves you. He's the father of compassion. But the text teaches us that God uses the opportunity of helping you to prepare you to work with him in helping others. That's what it says. You don't know that at the time. When you're in pain, pain is all you're aware of. I mean, blinding pain pretty much takes over. God finds you as one big hurt. Maybe you can cope. But you can't escape the pain of loneliness, the pain of rejection, pain of depression, the pain of remorse or loss or abuse, and that's the pain of your spirit. Even the physical pain that plagues you is amplified spiritually by anger and self-pity and bitterness. And through faith in Christ, God reaches into the pain and touches your soul. He touches you through his word, maybe preached or shared by somebody. He touches you through somebody's kindness and patience and faithfulness and generosity. And you don't care why they're doing it. You just grab and you hold on to that help and that love the way a parched desert traveler grabs a canteen of water and just drinks. But later on, as your bandaged soul starts to heal, you begin to realize that the hands that gave you that canteen, they belong to a person who knows what it means to be thirsty. And as you squint out over the desert from your newfound oasis, you realize there are others out there suffering with a thirst you can still remember. And many of you know that there are a few things in life more satisfying than offering your own canteen to somebody who's about to perish. That's how people care develops in a church. God raises up people he has helped who now want to help others. All the church has to do is assist them. And then you better make room for more who want to pass on what God has done for them. Sometimes you pass along God's help in the same way that you receive it. You know, God helps you or he helps somebody you love through an unexpected pregnancy or even through the fallout of an abortion. And you want to help other frantic mothers-to-be. Or God leads you out of slavery to pornography to a place of integrity and marital intimacy you didn't think you could have. And so you want to help other men in their own exodus to freedom. Or God meets you in the shattered memories you have of an abusive father and fills in that space with himself. The best father, the best friend you will ever, ever have. And you find that you want to help others who are similarly shattered. God met Chuck Colson in prison, and the result was prison fellowship. Sometimes you end up helping others in the same way God helped you. But of course, it doesn't always work that way. God met Corrie ten Boom in the concentration camp. He met Elizabeth Elliot in the Alka Village, but that didn't limit their ministries to jungles and concentration camps. God's help is not always like a commodity that you get passed on. It can also be like money, a kind of a liquid resource that you can spend in many ways. Often the help that you give will flow through your spiritual gifts, even though the help you received came through very different gifts. The Apostle Paul gives himself here as a living example of what he's writing about. After Jesus knocked him off his horse, the Lord sent a brother to go to him. And the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake." Saul, becoming Paul, was given an apostolic ministry of exceptional breadth. He would take the gospel to many, many provinces, even to Rome. Such a ministry would require a great deal of suffering. Why? Because that would be the natural outcome of a life of travel and opposition? Sure, of course. But it was more than that. Paul was going to need a love for all kinds of people and a love for the church that would be beyond most of us would ever attain. And to have that love to pass on, he was going to need to receive God's love and God's help as a friend through more trials and more challenges than most of us will ever face. Later in this letter, Paul speaks of prison and flogging. He said, "I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak?" Can you imagine being publicly flogged even once? Having the skin flayed from off your back or your muscles and bones bruised by punishing rods? Can you imagine being adrift in the Chesapeake for 24 hours before you're picked up? How about being shipwrecked 3 times? And constantly on the move from town to town because you're in danger 8 ways. In the opening text that we read, we discover that Paul experienced a lot we don't really know much about. Look at verses 8 and 9. He talks about hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life itself. We felt the sentence of death. The book of Acts doesn't even tell us about that. We don't even know what he's talking about. And Paul says, this was for your sake. Look, that's what he says. He says in verse 6, if we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Because God comforts me, I'm able to comfort you because you're going to suffer similar things that I suffer. And I'm able to do it because God's brought me through it. Paul was continuously overwhelmed by trials he couldn't cope with, so God could continuously help him. So Paul could go to any town, and he could talk to any soul weighed down by any grief, or bear with any church like the Corinthians, dealing with any sin, and love them, and speak of the love of the Lord Jesus with joy and confidence that's real, so palpable, that anyone with any kind of pain would sense the love of God. One of my favorite texts is in Acts 16. I love to just read through it. It's when Paul arrived in Philippi. And besides one of his imprisonments, doesn't talk a whole lot about his sufferings, but you see the fruit there of God's multifaceted help in Paul's life. Think of the first three members of the church in Philippi. What a group. What a motley crew. The Greek businesswoman, presumably on her own, rich, yet apparently empty, because she is searching for something money can't buy. A Roman civil servant, a jailer with a tedious job that enslaved him as much as his jail chained his prisoners. And a slave girl, driven by inner demons and abused by her owners. What kind of a preacher could reach such a diverse and motley congregation? Somebody who knew the pain of abuse at the hands of others. Somebody who experienced the chains that imprison both body and soul. Somebody familiar with the emptiness of having everything and having nothing. Paul knew it all. Paul experienced it all. Paul had been delivered from it all. The sufferings of Christ just kept overflowing on him, and God's remarkable, magnificent friendship just kept bringing him aid and bringing him aid and bringing him aid. So to his dying breath, Paul always had good news to share with anybody and everybody, no matter who they were, no matter what they suffered. Now, you and I, we're not called to be apostles, but we are called to help. And the place to begin, if you have not already begun, is not where you might think. The place to begin is not to look around to see how you can help. Friend, if your heart has never been stirred, if the wall hasn't come down on the inside to move you to seriously help other people, the place to begin is not looking around asking how you can help. You can always give something to help others, a few dollars or a card now and then, but you cannot give God's costly, powerful help to somebody else until you've received it. The place to begin is to ask God to help you. Open your heart, let the wall down, and let him help you. Because God's help isn't something you can manufacture. It's something you can only pass on if you've received it. Have you ever opened your soul for God to help you where you really hurt? I won't presume to tell you where that is because you know. Although maybe you've locked where you truly hurt in a closet someplace because you don't know what to do with it. But friend, God knows what to do with it. He knows what to do with it. He really does understand pain. He really knows how to help. And here's the best part. He really wants to help. People care ministry can involve all of us. It has a place for you. But you got to receive God's comfort before you can pass it on. Open up to him your thirsty soul and let him send to you somebody with a canteen. Soak in his grace. Let Jesus mend you some. Then look around. And God will lead you to plenty of others who need the help he's given you.